Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn.
All right, everybody, that is the divine Dara Williams singing with Pete Seeger, the legendary Pete Seeger back from the beyond, and David Burns, who wrote the words to that song, the Solartopia song, recorded in Beacon, New York, way back when. But I am Harvey Sluggo Washman, and I wrote one word on that whole Michigas there, the word Solartopia, a green-powered earth under attack, as always, from left and right. And we have a great show, two great guests, starting with the fabulous Andrea Miller, Joel Siegel in the on-deck box for the first half hour, but he'll pipe in, I'm sure. And we're going to talk about this upcoming day. The only issue in our world today, the upcoming election, in which Andrea is a major, major player. Andrea, tell us about your group and your work and why you are at the vortex of all of human history.
Well, I don't often think of it that way, but Harvey, number one, thanks for having me on. Sure. And the organization is called Center for Common Ground. And what we do is we work with community of color voters in multiple states. Normally we say in voter suppression states, and we work to help them remove barriers that have been put in front of them to stop them from voting. We find many people have been kicked off the voter rolls and they don't know it. So we let them know that A, they are no longer actively registered to vote, and then we tell them how to get back on the rolls. And then when we actually are having the election, like they are in Georgia, the Georgia primary is June 9th, we make certain that people know where to vote, what their options are for voting. For instance, in Georgia, people can vote by mail, they can go early vote, they can drop off their absentee ballot during early voting, or we don't recommend this, they can wait until election day. So all of a sudden in the 2020 elections, people are looking at four possible ways to vote instead of they normally think of two. I can early vote or I can go to the polls. There are more options this year.
Well, Greg Palast, the great researcher,
yes,
has estimated that something like 17 million people have been stricken from the voter rolls.
And that would be 16.8, and yes, that's basically 17 million. Yeah.
So, you know, whatever it is, it's not a pretty picture.
No, it's a very ugly picture. And again, one of the biggest problems is so many of these folks don't know. And if we don't get to them, may not find out until election day when they show up to vote, they will discover they have been deregistered and they cannot cast a ballot that will be counted. In most states, they're going to say, look, you're not a registered voter, and this is only for officially registered voters, so get out of here with that. States that are really nice might give them a provisional ballot, but they're not going to count a ballot of a person who is not registered to vote, and voter suppression states do not offer same-day registration. Here I am, I'm presenting myself, I want to participate in democracy. Oops, my democracy lapsed. Well, let me just sign up for democracy again. No, you can't do that in most states.
So you, when you say voter suppression states, what states are we talking about?
Well, if you look at all of the southern states, that would be every state south of Virginia. Virginia last year decided they were going to give up being a voter suppression state. So Virginia is now the former capital of the Confederacy. We have walked away from all that. So we are no longer officially a voter suppression state. We want voters to vote. And so we are actively working with voters to make it possible for them to vote. So North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, Florida, Alabama, Georgia, swinging west to Texas, coming north to Arizona. Those are all voter suppression states. Coming around in the Midwest, Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. These are all states that have made a major effort to suppress the vote. Now, in California, are people required to have a photo ID to vote? No. But in all these states, well, North Carolina is kind of the exception. They voted to have photo ID, but a judge would not allow them to do it so close to the election. You know, people in the South, especially if they are African-American and they're older, African-Americans in most Southern states couldn't be born in hospitals until the 1970s. So that means they were born at home. So if you were rural, born at home in some nice little small town, you may not have ever had the official need for a birth certificate. People could look at you. Hi, I was born. How do you think I got here? Stork didn't drop me off. I was born. Hello, I'm here. But when these states went photo ID, suddenly you needed background documentation to get a photo ID. A lot of poor women in the South, they didn't drive. They didn't have driver's license. You didn't have a car. Why do you need a driver's license? So this is the reality that we look at when we step across that economic divide between the haves and the don't have nearly as much. It gets very real and really translates into voting.
So the states you mentioned contain, the list of states contains the states that are going to decide the election.
Yes.
And the reason that the states like Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, well, you mentioned Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio.
Yes.
North Carolina. I mean, states, these states have Republican legislatures.
Yes.
Because in 2010, while the Democrats were fast asleep, the Koch brothers went in and bought the necessary state legislatures to put in voter suppression.
Right.
And, you know, Virginia just changed over, thank goodness.
Yes.
But
and, I was part of that.
Yeah. Yes, you were. And you're in Virginia. And Virginia now has become a blue state, basically.
Yes.
But states you wouldn't expect, like Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, what's changed now in the last couple years is that Wisconsin, Michigan, and North Carolina all have Democratic governors.
Right. But right.
It didn't help in Pennsylvania in 2016, which had a Democratic governor, but they still stole the election there. So the question now is, and this is the big thing, how do you reverse this? You got 16, 17 million people who have been stripped from the voter rolls.
Right.
They will decide the election,
yes.
At least the presidency.
Yes.
So what are you going to do about it?
Well,
how do we reverse this?
Well, when you look at what's been going on in states, you get a very strong picture of this is what the progressive vote looks like, the Democratic vote, or whatever you want to call it. And it isn't enough to overcome the conservative vote. So you have to start looking for, are there other voters? So when you look at community of color voters, you realize when I go back and look at previous elections, they really didn't participate, and a lot of folks that were community of color could participate. And in many instances, it really is the fault of some incredibly lackluster candidates who have run, where when you really look at these candidates, you know, they're really not that different from the person who held the office. So you started having people not vote. The other thing that came about was in Virginia and in Florida, in Kentucky, you had felony disenfranchisement. So if people were convicted of a felony in any of these three states, there's actually four, you would lose your right to vote for a lifetime or until restored by the governor or the legislature. So there has been a lot of hard work done by a lot of progressive groups to basically turn that around. But many folks didn't get the memo. There's still a lot of, there was just, a judge just ruled in Florida, you cannot demand that people who had former felony convictions have to pay their fines and fees before they get the ability to get their voting rights back. You can't do that. That's a poll tax. So things are starting to change. So we do have to change hearts and minds and laws. And we've got to make sure that if people want to vote, they're going to be able to vote. We've got a digital divide in this country. Rural people, a lot of them, don't have access to the internet. So much information about where you vote and what your voting options are on the internet. If you don't have the internet, you aren't getting the information that you need. States are closing polling locations left and right. They're moving to voting centers. Voting centers are on the internet. If you're not on the internet, you don't know where you can go and vote. So we make it a point of contacting rural voters, of contacting voters that are older who may not use computers and be on the internet, and making sure they know when to vote, where to vote, and if they don't have a way to get there, we get them a way to get there. We get them a free ride. It's very...
You have volunteers in the field who are going door to door?
Well, not now. Not now. We did, but not now. So we send postcards. Our operation has always been virtual since we started doing this work. So we call voters, we send them postcards. This year now we're texting voters, but we don't just say, oh, please go vote. We make sure voters are armed with information. When, where, how do you need a ride? We'll take you.
Do you have people inside the election boards who can make sure that this gets done right and these people actually get on the voter rolls?
In a couple of states, yes. We do actually have people that are election officials. And where election officials come down on voter suppression gets very, very interesting. When you look at a state like Texas, where you say the legislature, the governor, that's all conservative. But when you look at a county Board of Elections, all those folks are frequently of a more progressive leaning. So we have learned that election boards can vary widely in terms of what they look at. When you look at Texas, the state says you must be 65, have a disability, or you're going to be out of the county during early voting and election day. Most states, even Alabama, they have said, look, if you're concerned about getting sick, use the COVID-19 excuse and we're going to let you vote by mail. So Texas said, no, we are not accepting COVID-19 as an excuse. Then there was a court case and a Texas judge said, oh, yes, you will. And then the attorney general said, oh, no, we won't. And then the Texas State Supreme Court said, right, we are not accepting COVID-19. And then a federal judge stepped in and said, oh, but you will. This is insane.
Well, you know, you have a madman in the White House. He wants to be dictator. And the only way he can do that is to prevent people of your color from voting.
Well, it's not just my color. They are not fond of black voters, brown voters, red voters, or yellow voters.
That's right.
So there's a whole lot of people they don't like. And they're not all that fond of Jewish voters.
No, except for the idiot son-in-law there.
there always has to be the exception.
Right. And I'm sure that if Trump stays in future elections and your applications, there'll be a question of, did you ever take LSD? And that will, of course, disqualify people like me. So this is the real crux of the situation here. You know, you and I were on a voting rights call every Monday, and people listening in, you can email me, solartopia@gmail.com, if you want to get on our Monday voting rights call. But the core of the matter is we're going to have vote by mail. We don't know how extensive and how corrupted it will be, but we know what the possibilities are.
Oh, we've already seen some corruption in Georgia. Several Georgia counties sent out the vote by mail ballots and they didn't send the envelopes. Well, when you read the Secretary of State handbook, it very plainly says, sign your ballot and sign the envelope. And people are going, but I didn't get an envelope. And they're like, you want your vote to be counted, you will sign the envelope. They're like, there wasn't an envelope.
Yes. Has this been in the news? I mean, you know, they do all sorts of things like this. In Ohio in 2004, in southwestern Ohio, they sent out absentee ballots that didn't have John Kerry's name on it.
And we've heard that they've sent out absentee ballots that didn't have Joe Biden's name on them.
Yes, and in California, in the this isn't just the Republicans in the California primary, the Democrats sent out ballots without Bernie Sanders' name on it. So, you know, it cuts both ways.
Yeah.
So the question is, how are we going to get a fair and reliable election this fall?
And that is an excellent question. And again, remember, the conservatives are planning on sending out the armed militia, and I guarantee you it won't be in the white upper class suburbs to protect the vote. They will be sending out the militia to intimidate and harass the vote. So that for us becomes another reason to have our folks either vote by mail or early vote to avoid election day like the plague.
Yeah. And of course, we'll have to have people there with the militia alongside them to neutralize them in a nonviolent way.
Right.
And we know, and so your organization, you have said you have 7,000 volunteers.
How do people volunteer? We're getting closer to 9,000 now. We're doing quite well with volunteers because we started working the 2020 election on January 4th. we understood there was going to be everything under the sun thrown at us in this election. So we got started early.
Well, I wish everybody else had, but, you know, we're down to 5 months now, basically, and just a little over 5 months. It's a terrifying prospect of what we're looking at. And how do people get a hold of you to volunteer and to work with you to do this?
I'm going to say they can email me, and you can email me at Andrea, A-N-D-R-E-A, at, actually, I'm going to give you a better email. You can email me there, ROV, Reclaim Our Vote, at peopledemandingaction.org. That will put you directly in our I Want to Volunteer queue. And then determine how you want to plug in. Do you want to send postcards? Do you want to make calls on the phone? Do you want to send text?
Right. So when people sign up to volunteer, what will they be doing?
Well, you might be postcarding if you've got good handwriting. We don't let just anybody postcard. If you can't read your own handwriting, postcarding is probably not for you.
Yeah, I would flunk immediately.
So I resemble that remark. I really understand that. Uh-huh. So we have phone banking. Again, not everybody loves getting on the phone and calling voters. But again, we aren't selling candidates. We're talking to voters about how, where, when they can vote. Do they face any challenges, and how can we help them? So our calls are appreciated, as opposed to if I got another call from that campaign about it. We don't make those kind of calls. We're calling to see what we can do to help the voter vote. And now this year, this is new. And we're thinking a lot of the younger people are going to like this, although older people are welcome to do it too. Texting, sending people a text message, because now they're going to have something on their phone that gives them all the information they need.
Wow. Okay, but of course, a lot of people don't have texting on their phone.
Well, that is true, but more and more people do. Again, this is the 21st century, and I was really shocked at the number of over 60-year-olds who text. Now, I have texting on my phone. I have to remind myself to constantly check it. But one of the things we've seen is that people may not answer a call that comes on their phone if they don't know the number, but they have no problem looking at a text and they don't recognize the number that it's from. It's a whole nother behavior, especially among younger voters.
Well, I'm 74, and so, you know, the high point of all our family reunions is when I try to work my iPhone, my daughter. Gather around. You know,
they're like, oh, this is going to be great.
Yeah, right.
Right. So, it's like, whoa, this is the entertainment for the afternoon.
Exactly. And are you going to have people out on Election Day at the election centers to interact these guys with their guns?
Yes. That normally is not what our people do. So we have an app where if you see a problem, we call it see something, say something, you can report it right from your phone. It automatically gets posted on a map, and a couple of TV stations actually keep our application in their war room so they see these reports directly as they come in. And then we may grab some of them. We'll go check them and go, yeah, you need to get a reporter on this. This one is hot. You know, this one right here.
Well, and of course, videoing now is really critical as well.
And then we ask people, did you take a picture? Do you have a video? It's like, hey, I'm at the polling location. The line's going around the block. Did you get a video? Did you take a picture?
Right. Well, we can't have lines around the block this fall. I mean, that can't happen, you know. I had the idea.
We had that in Wisconsin.
I know, it was terrible.
That would have happened in Wisconsin.
So I had the ideal experience in California. I got my ballot in the mail. I filled it out, and then I went on Sunday to the local elementary school, and I walked in, and they were all happy to see me, and I signed everything and dropped it off.
Right.
That, it took me 10 minutes. That's the way it should be.
And now I'm going to give Georgia credit. Many of the Georgia counties went for drop boxes. The Georgia drop boxes, they look like these rented dumpster things. They're that big. Only all over it says that it's the drop box. So, you know, don't pull up with your pickup and think you're going to drive off with it.
Yeah. Well, this is certainly a turning point election. I mean, neither Georgia nor Texas has been a swing state for a long, long time. And now, you know, you got the possibilities. But it's going to be up to you to protect the vote, to get the people out, to face down these fascist militia types, you know. And we've seen this from the Ku Klux Klan and from
it's just like the 1960s all over again.
Right. Well, I would like part of that, actually. I wouldn't mind being a 20-year-old hippie again, but that's a different part of the 1960s that we're talking about.
All right, but the good part we're seeing is we're seeing the communities of faith lock hands and arms with community of color.
Yes.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
No, it's about time, and... you know, this guy in the White House gets crazier and crazier and more desperate, you know, and they're talking about the stolen election upcoming. I mean, we have to understand that Donald Trump considers any vote fraudulent that's not cast by a white millionaire.
Right.
So, you know.
Or not cast for him.
Yeah, exactly.
And we've got that. Rather small, very, very periodically, he likes to trot them out, black voters for Trump.
Right, all three of them. And, but what you're doing to get people back on the registration rolls is absolutely critical. I mean, if we're talking 16, 17 million people knocked off the voter rolls, so how do people, again, get a hold of you to sign up to help with this?
The best way to do it is email ROV at peopledemandingaction.org.
All right. Very good, Andrea Miller. And, you know, it's a pleasure to work with you and a pleasure to have you on. It's been great to have you on the voter calls. And what do you need most from people? I guess, well, where is your office? I guess it doesn't matter.
I live in Virginia. Virginia's not one of our target states. Our target states this year are Alabama, Arizona, Georgia, Mississippi, North Carolina, Texas.
Wow.
All fun states.
Yeah, all
like working in the South. States. We really do like working in the South because the history of the people there who fought for the, I'm not even going to say right to vote, but the ability to vote, really get angry when they discover that through not really any fault of their own, that they've been cheated out of their ability to vote. And so when people find that out, they do turn around and then they go fight to get that back. So people do work to get back on the voter rolls.
Well, the work you're doing is just so crucial. Joel, do you want to jump in, Joel Siegel?
Yeah, I mean, I think Andrea has the template for the Democratic Party, the template for people who are working on the ground to get out the vote.
And progressives, anybody.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I'm glad you have her on the show. I've worked with Andrea for, you know, 15 years or so. She was very close to Congressman John Conyers that I worked for many years. And so, yeah, I think that Andrea needs to do a national town hall meeting with four or five other people who she works with so she can explain to the rest of us her genius. She actually teaches computers. She's a professor of computers. So she's an expert on anything technical. And right now, with COVID-19 epidemic, we're going to need technical expertise. She has that. So I'm just glad that you have her on. I just think she has to show, you know, people who care about getting out the vote and winning in 2020 and dumping the Trump dictatorship from the face of this earth forever. That's what I think.
And again, that's really true of people who are very, very strong on their various issues, climate, voting. It really doesn't matter. It is critical that you work on the 2020 election.
You can't get,
send
you know,
a postcard, make a phone call, send text messages, go and hang out at the polls with your trusty cell phone and do election protection. The days are gone when people of good conscience and of faith can simply just sit back and go, well, you know, nobody's bothering me. They're not bothering you yet.
Well, and Andrew, just to follow up and riff on what you're saying, we have what I call click activists. You can't click a movement. You have to work with people. You have to get on the ground. You got to build coalitions. I just fear that if we don't build the kind of coalition that we had probably in the 60s, the 70s, Freedom Summer, I'm worried that the Trump and McConnell could get elected again. And I remember when I was working in Congress, I used to write speeches for Congressman John Conyers, and I would say, if we take back the House and the Senate and the White House and they become Democratic, we, the progressive movement, can push them into the direction of Medicare for all, jobs for all, right? Ending minority health disparities. You can't do that with this brick wall called the Republican Party.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, and you know what? Go ahead, Andrea, and then we're going to wrap. We'll let you go.
I was going to say, you know, I've had my share of really good Republican legislators that I've worked with. Normally, we were really great on a couple of issues together. But again, we can force the other side. I mean, remember the day when, again, if we go back and we look at Dwight D. Eisenhower and what he believed, without changing a single belief, Dwight D. Eisenhower would basically be a progressive Democrat.
He would, yes. He was a decent guy, Dwight Eisenhower. We're going to segue over. Andrea, we're going to jump off the air for a minute, and then you're going to get a – are you going to leave us or are you going to stay with us? Alan Minsky is going to come on. You're welcome to join us. Or otherwise, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
You're the greatest. And I'm going to keep having you on because what you're doing is right at the core of everything that we need to have done. So Andrea Miller from People Demanding Action, protecting the vote, getting people re-registered, dealing with the stripping of the voter rolls. It's a nightmare, and you are waking us up. So thank you so very much. And people listening in, please contact Andrea, as she's told us, and we'll be all right. Okay, thank you so much, Andrea Miller. That was just wonderful. You are the greatest. We appreciate your work so much. And now we're with another person who's doing what they call God's work here. This is the great Alan Minsky. We're on Zoom here. Alan, you gotta put a cool poster on the wall behind you there.
This is just a storage space in my attic. So, you know,
you folks listening in on the radio, we're on Zoom. So Alan, Joel, and I can all see each other. I'd like to see, Alan, the poster from the Shawshank Redemption of Raquel Welch in the 10,000 BC, but whatever you put up there is fine. So Alan Minsky from Progressive Democrats of America, along with Andrea Miller, one of the key activists in the country working to deal with this insane election that we're looking at. Mika Brzezinski is now asking Twitter to take Donald Trump off Twitter, which would be, you know, Donald Trump has 80 million followers, for God's sakes. It would actually be a major political event if he was taken off Twitter. He would be seriously impinged, let's put it that way. But Alan, you're with Progressive Democrats of America. You've been on before. Tell us what your organization is doing right now, where you stand in the key swing states, and what you're looking forward to in terms of your activities leading into the fall?
Well, you know, in terms of the swing states, you know, we, of course, Progressive Democrats of America, we will endorse, and we're a federal PAC. We have other, you know, 501c4, you know, structures that are not federal PACs that we're affiliated with, but we, including, of course, most importantly, People Demanding Action. But we support progressive candidates across the country. So for us, the November election will include some very, very important, and still in some upcoming primary states, very important support that we'll be providing for progressive candidates, down ballot candidates, but, you know, House of Representatives, U.S. Senate, et cetera. And then, you know, going into the general election for every state, therefore, we're going to be providing as much election information as we possibly can. On the one hand, as a PAC, about you know, the candidates that we support, and on the other hand, so that everybody can vote and understand how to vote in this, what is going to be a unique election because of the pandemic in terms of the mechanisms of voting, and there's going to be a lot of confusion, and the very type of confusion that the right wing in the United States could weave. There's a really predictable way in which, unless we are vigilant and get our information out, that the right wing could benefit tremendously from. So PDA is going to be on the front lines of getting that kind of information out. You know, Progressive Democrats of America, since our inception, there have been a number of issues which we have really led on. We're very, perhaps best known for being one of the organizations that promoted Medicare for All starting from our inception. But one of the other issues, and of course we're very well known as an anti-war organization as well. There are a whole number of other planes, obviously, in terms of social justice, in terms of economics, that we have been leading the way on. But election protection has been a key issue for us, not only on the level of, you know, money and politics, but even in terms of how, well, very much in terms of how the right wing has been organizing to limit the electorate, particularly in districts where the opposition is strong from the Republican point of view, and in particular in communities of color, therefore. And of course, this is a continuation of the racist ideology that has defined the United States of America since its founding. It is a particularly focused thrust of the Republican Party. Let's not mince any words about it. And, you know, it's absolute, it's historically disgraceful, and it's morally disgraceful and ethically disgraceful. We have to do everything we can to combat it. And the way to combat it is to try to make sure that, first of all, we, of course, support universal voter registration. Okay, well, we're talking about the November election, the laws as they actually exist in every state, because don't forget, this is 51 different elections, right? And 51 different elections, and they even go county by county in terms of how exactly people vote, what machines and technologies are involved. And we want to get the electorate not only as informed as possible, but also to be so that they know what's happening, how it's transpiring, but still there are going to be decisions that are going to be made, and the role of public pressure on those decisions can be very significant. So we're going to advocate for the most transparent, easily accessible, and universal voting available to the public on every front and every plane between now and November of this year.
Okay, so Progressive Democrats of America, how do people get a hold of you, Alan Minsky, to sign up to work with you?
PDAmerica.org, and just join us there. And so PDAmerica.org. And we'd love for everybody to join in. Now, you asked about swing states, and we happen to be as strong as we are in any state, and one of the very most important swing states, a state that's been trending more purple in recent years, and that is Arizona. We're also very strong in, we have a great tradition in Ohio, and certainly in Western Pennsylvania, important swing state. We have a base in Wisconsin, and we're super strong in Florida. And Harvey,
okay,
by the
so,
way.
When you say and, you're and
I, know some, I happen to know some folks in Ohio and North Carolina, by the way, too.
Yeah. North Carolina has had its first Zoom call and among an election protection now, and probably you, if you can, coordinate with Bob Petraeus to do one in Ohio. So when you say you're strong in a state, what does that mean? What exactly is PDA doing What are your, you know, Andrea Miller was quite explicit in what she's doing to, you know, retrieve the people off who've been taken off the registration rolls. What is PDA's action agenda?
Well, okay, we will, of course, support everything Andrea is doing. And of course, on that call, someone mentioned the variety of lawsuits and PDA across the country. We have a profile that's not insignificant and can be influential when we hear about lawsuits to support the right side of things, get people aware of how that's transpiring in every state. But in particular, here's what we're going to do. And Arizona is going to be a model that we will develop over the next 10 days to 2 weeks. And then we're going to spread it as best as we can to every other state. And certainly with Joe anchoring in North Carolina, yourself in Ohio, we can get to those states almost instantaneously. But we are an organization that have chapters. We have chapter meetings. Now, of course, we're not meeting in person. We're meeting on Zoom. And we've made sure that all of our chapters have the technology to continue with their meetings. And we're very organized right now. We have, the great Mike Fox, one of the great contemporary American progressive activists, and a leader for PDA in Florida, for instance, was just elected a delegate to the DNC with the largest percentage of votes of any delegate in the state of Florida. Arizona, the PDA people make up the majority of the Bernie delegation that will be going and Arizona was basically a tie with Biden this time, going to the DNC. And all of that took organization. So they're very mobilized at this moment. And we have local chapters where people meet. So we have people in, for instance, a state like Arizona, where we're very organized. We have chapters across the entire state, right? The population centers, Tucson, Phoenix, of course, Maricopa County, Flagstaff, but even across other parts of the state. That means we have local activists who are the type of veteran activists who know and always know and are always up to speed on exactly how the voting is transpiring. Now, of course, people might actually recall in Arizona, sorry for people who aren't from Arizona to focus on this, but you might remember that there was a moment that went semi-viral where they were talking about still holding the Arizona primary when the COVID crisis was beginning to hit. And a guy was at the microphone talking about how it was being changed. And he just said, he looked at the guy who was writing, says, "I can't do this anymore." He walked away. And of course, everybody in Phoenix, PDA knew the guy, knew the person who was running the elections in the county. So they have all these contacts. And of course, in the population centers, these tend to be Democrats at the county level, because Democrats disproportionately win elections in major cities, even in traditional red states like Arizona. But that's the case in, you know, Tucson, which has been the progressive hub of the state, and then Phoenix, which is trending blue too. And so we know the people, the activists are going to know the rules and regulations, and they're going to be able to get that out to the people of Arizona. We're going to share the information when we compile it, not only at the county by county level, but we'll share it with all of our partner organizations, and we'll even pressure the entire Democratic Party to make sure that they get the information out to everybody. And hey, we're for universal, suffrage. So we want to get this information out to everybody, right?
Well, right now we're having universal suffering. So
In Arizona, by the way, it is absolutely worth noting. And I actually, of all things, point to an article today from Robert Reich, the treatment, what's going on with the Navajo Nation in Arizona right now around the coronavirus is insane, and people should be cognizant of it and full solidarity with them. And we want to make sure that we do everything we can to empower their voting rights in that community too.
It's absolutely genocidal. And of course, in the upcoming election there, they don't have street addresses. They have post boxes. And right. If Trump succeeds in destroying the post office, that will be a major factor in the election. And I guarantee you there are people in Koch brother headquarters and in the Kremlin and wherever else who have factored that in and know exactly what's going on and what they want to have happen. The other thing that in talking with Andrea Miller, you know, as a historian, we've had elections certainly in the 1800s. Where armed militias turned up at the voter polls at the polls to turn people away, and the good news in this upcoming election is that we will not have 117,000 polling stations, but we will have at least one or two polling stations in every county, and the militias will turn up with their guns. And we're going to have people at every one of these voting stations with cameras and prepared to do nonviolent resistance to these fascist thugs that are going to turn up with their guns. I don't know how much PDA has discussed that, but that's going to be a reality, and it's got to be on the table.
Well, I think, again, there's so much dimension to this right now. And just to, again, sort of return and try to always provide as much clarity as possible. First of all, that's the overarching goal here. We do not want to convey to the American public in any way, shape, or form that even at the end of the day, voting is not going to be too difficult. And maybe if the right wing is ascendant over the next 6 months and they block people, but we're going to get you to the point where you're going to do everything you can in your power to vote. We're going to make that information as easy and accessible as possible. So that information will be available through all PDA digital channels, going back to one site where we will compile all the information. We're going to start with leading off with some of the notorious swing states, but as I said at the top, try to get this out to everybody everywhere. We do have chapters everywhere so we can disperse the labor. So while, of course, that we focus on Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Arizona, North Carolina, these swing states, the famous seven or eight really important swing states, we have the chapters who can get this information out for all 51 of these elections.
Right. The key is going to be early voting on paper by mail or to bring the ballots in. It may be that it'll be better to fill out your ballot and then walk it in, but not on election day. That is probably going to be the most important manner of protecting the vote.
Yeah, so imagine if you are in some state which isn't a swing state, but you are in a place where that scenario you described earlier of potentially militia showing up, and even if it's not a swing state, but this would, of course, apply to a swing state too, perhaps rural Michigan or parts of Michigan, since they famously had people just show up at their state capital. The information will be tailored for all of the relevant information for each state and hopefully each county. And it'll be available on the PDA website, and we'll have the local people at the local chapters be able to help compile it. And then, of course, locally get that information out as well. And if we are in this area in a circumstance where there's a it's reasonable to predict that what you described is going to transpire, then of course that we really must commit to addressing that in those regions and how people should contend with that to still make sure that their votes are heard, and also to document the danger as it's posed in advance or as it plays out on election day.
Joel, if you want to jump in, you're in South North Carolina. North Carolina's had some of the worst race riot, anti-black riots in American history. And you have now the book I wrote with Bob Fetrakis on the history of elections, which is free for you to pass out to everybody in PDF form. But I've seen the images from the 1800s, and I think we're going to see them again, of basically the Klan, the modern day Klan, turning up at polling stations with guns to intimidate people. And it's going to be our people, our side is going to have cameras. It's going to be cameras versus guns, basically. I mean, that I think is the unfortunate scenario that we're looking at here. And of course, that's where early voting and paper ballots come in. I mean, the dream come true of vote by mail is that we get paper ballots. You know, having experienced these stolen elections since 24 in Ohio, paper ballots are the only way to go. The question is, how do we get them to the voters? And how do we get people registered properly? How do we get paper ballots in the hands of the voters? How do we get them back into the polling stations? And then how do we get them counted? That's the bottom line here.
Yeah. And I'll respond to that. I first want to thank Al Mitsky, my brother from another mother, the executive director of Progressive Democrats of America, one of the nicest persons I've ever met in the 40 years I've been involved in activism. And I want to thank you, Harvey, for your leadership on the right to vote. If anyone has a checkbook or an online contribution, please send it to Progressive Democrats of America. I really think they're the most accessible, most progressive. I'm a co-founder of PDA, the first vice chair with Mimi Kennedy. So I just want to say, let's not take PDA and Alan Minsky for granted. These are great progressive leaders in this country. That's what I'm first.
And it's PD, it's PDAmerica.org. Is that right, Alan?
Right. There's only one A in there in the America part. So there's a
PDAmerica.
Yeah, and let me make it very clear. If I had $1 million right now, I would give it to the PDA because they're that effective. The answer to your question is I have never seen in my life, and I've been working in the Democratic Party for 40 years. I've run congressional campaigns. I've been, you know, I work at the highest levels and still do of the DNC and the DCCC. My opinion, there's going to have to be a literally the most extensive collaboration that we've ever seen. So if we married the Freedom Summer from the 1960s civil rights movement, you know, with the Democratic National Party, that's what we're going to have. There's going to be at least $20 million given to on-the-ground groups, whether it's PDA or Fair Fight or Andrew's organization. Because if the Republican Party is going to spend $20 million to make sure that the Democrats can't vote, especially they say suspicious means, of course, black and brown people. And
Joel, we're down to 2 minutes. So I'm going to give you 1 minute and then give Alan the last.
Sure. We have to have a concerted progressive united front to get out the vote, stop voter suppression, register people. That's going to be it's a crisis right now. New York Times registration's a crisis because of COVID-19. And mm-hmm. what Harvey, myself, and Alan are doing is we're forming that partnership and collaboration right now, and it's working great. I am in contact with the DNC. They're very receptive, but we need more black and brown organizations in this umbrella.
Alan, you get the last word here.
I do, and I just want to say, you know, you don't think the right wing is up on this? Okay, they are a very, very disciplined and unified force across the country in the United States of America. What was Tucker Carlson's, and I just saw this, I don't watch Tucker Carlson, but I saw it as I was on YouTube. What was his editorial monologue from yesterday? It was about the Democrats stealing the election through whatever he calls it, like harvesting votes, right? They are building this up, and they are going to fight in every way, shape, or form. So that's what we're up against. It's going to take coordination. And it's exactly what Joel said. It's going to take coordination. It's going to take a huge effort locally, statewide, and nationally.
Amen.
You talk about the presidential election. We get a 10 million popular vote majority because they're not going to do this in New York and California, right? They're going to do it in the swing states, and they're going to try to get the electoral votes they need to win that way. But then across the country, because this is a super important election. The state legislatures in 2020 are super important because there's going to be redistricting in the next decade. And who are up with that more? The Democratic activists or the Republicans? Damn it, it's the Republicans.
That's right.
You guys are right.
Yeah. Well, Alan Minsky, I wish to God, if I had one wish, it would be that you were the chairman of the chairperson of the Democratic National Committee.
No, I am Joel Siegel's understudy and a huge Harvey Wasserman fan. I am Siegel's understudy.
We love you, man.
Thank you. Thank you all for listening in. Support Progressive Democrats of America, PDA, MERICA.org, Andrea Miller's group. This is the crisis. This is the life, make it or break it, decision of not just our lifetimes, but all lifetimes to come. We can't. The human species will not survive 4 more years of Donald Trump. So we need to deal with this in every way, shape, or form. Alan Minsky, thank you for being on. Joel Siegel, Andrea Miller, thank you. Thanks to the crew in New York.
Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia, solartopia, solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia all over God's green world.
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. So we went digging into the ground and started to burn.